This episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by the Made to Measure Leggings class from SewHere.com. This online class brings ZD right into your sewing room to show you how to measure, draft, and construct a pair of leggings based on your personal measurements. Go to SewHere.com/leggings to find out more and get access to all the videos and course materials immediately. That's SewHere.com/leggings.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud. Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And this is ZD Donahue.
And today we've got a couple awesome podcast topics. Someone in the group, I hate this. I'm like, I'm going to remember their name.
I saw it too. So. And I don't remember. In fact, I think I was the one that okayed the... I think I was the one that,
Daisy. Daisy. Okay. A really lovely person named Daisy said, I'm going to be making a bunch of easy tees over the month. I'm currently looking at fabric. Thoughts on double gauze for an easy tee? Well, I do have some thoughts on double gauze.
And I knew Mallory did, even though I accepted the post. I wanted Mallory to answer it. Plus, I was like on a boat ride.
Okay,
so I wasn't going to answer it while I was in the middle of a boat ride.
I don't even think I... Well, oh, I said, well, we should podcast about this. There we go. There's a nice little...
good answer.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, we'll make a podcast out of your question.
So, first of all, I do know other people have made easy tees out of the double gauze, so that's good. So first off, there's that. And then second, let's just talk about the easy tee for a second. So the easy tee is one of our online sewing classes. It's how to draft a dolman sleeve, short sleeve dolman top out of woven fabric. So it's a very basic lesson in drafting. So it gets you used to that, measuring your own body or somebody else's body, getting those measurements out into the two-dimensional space, drafting it, you know, making a test garment, seeing if you want to fix anything or adjust anything, and then you've got this garment. Now,
these also make like, like Mallory's talking about this foundation. So these make like great... like swimsuit cover-ups.
You make it
a little bit bigger or something.
A lot of stuff.
You know, this is something you can style yourself. You can color block it. Or, you know, Mallory, I think, put knit on the back of one.
Yeah, we got knit on
like
the back.
And,
we got people making
on
them
the
out of knit.
Yeah, and, you know, I have used it for night shirts. I love it.
So if you make it, the ones I've made that have served a more, like, formal purpose,
right.
I make it out of a very drapey, thinner woven, like a rayon chalet. I wore out my rayon chalet one. It's from L.A. Finch Fabrics.
Mallory's worn out a lot of easy tees.
I just wore it out.
She, like, makes a couple and they become and her uniforms.
And then I wear them and I kill them, you know. Right. So I've made it out of rayon chalet. I think, like, a satin would be nice, too. Like, a really... So the flowy ones...
Like, a flowy polyester that you think feels like.
That you
know,
like.
The rayon kind of thing, that kind of thing.
So the flowy stuff... See, this is where all of this, like, you know, your preference comes
right.
in. So the reason I recommend the flowier, drapier wovens is because this shirt doesn't have a lot of, like, darts or fitting or anything. So if you want it to sort of, like, flow across your body and maybe not, like, be too boxy, you'll want the drapier fabric.
Right.
However,
it gives a little bit of a cling.
Yeah.
Right.
However... I've made one out of, like, a really cool cotton linen.
I was going to say about your linen one.
And it was a little boxier. However, that's kind of in.
Well,
and if that's your style, like,
yes, and that was a fabric that had, like, a print to it that sort of spoke of on its own. So, like, you know, it depends on the fabric a lot of times what you want.
Yeah.
But address
the double.
The gauze.
Yes. Okay. So let's talk about that. Yeah.
Gauze is so funny.
So,
and, like, I'm not a good gauze wearer, okay?
Yeah, so the double gauze, it's really been popular, I think, over the past, like, two to three years, maybe 4 years. Okay, yeah, so I want to talk about the double gauze. So it's, I feel like it's sort of in the middle between, like, this drapey rayon chalet and this stiffer, like, cotton linen. And by the way, just the cotton linen, it got softer as I wore it and washed it, right?
And she wore it out. Are you still wearing it?
No.
It's pretty worn.
Actually, what happened is my dryer.
Ate it or something?
The lint filter caught it and ripped the neck. And it was worn out. Like, it was just ready to say goodbye.
Yeah, you wore it a lot.
Okay. So, anyway, I feel like the double gauze is kind of in the middle of that. And with the double gauze, like with a lot of these woven fabrics, I really would recommend pre-washing. Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Really.
You know,
okay. Because
I'm sorry, but I can't make a garment without pre-washing because you just don't know.
Yeah. Well, I guess in this case, like, we do know that ish will shrink. Like, that.
Right. That definitely, anything that's loosely woven is going to change its shape much easier than something that's more densely woven generally.
The one thing where I'd take the risk, and it's a risk, like, it's a calculated risk where I'd make the easy tee and not pre-wash, is like some kind of poly-tech knit that's all polyester. I have made it, not pre-washed it, and it hasn't shrunk.
And you know it's going to stretch again when you're putting it on.
But it could've. Yep. I mean, I was taking a risk. So anyway, with these gauzes, and in fact, one of the easy tees I did shrink on me, and I was like, this is very disappointing because I put the time into this, and now it's like 3 inches, 4 inches shorter. So anywho, definitely pre-wash the gauze. And you want to make a test garment. So if you have your double gauze, so there's some double gauze out there that's quite expensive. Like the Miss Matatabi special edition prints. Okay. Right. If you have that, you might not be able to make a muslin or a test garment out of exactly that. But try to find something that's maybe like a little similar.
Cheesecloth.
There you go. Burlap. No. Actually, you're right. Cheesecloth is really.
Cheesecloth is a gauzy knit.
Yeah.
It is.
A gauzy woven.
Yeah,
a
gauzy woven. Yeah. I'm sorry.
You're totally correct. I have found sometimes with some of these wovens that are a little, you said loosely woven, and they're shifty. You know, I actually will nip in the waist a little more because they kind of shift and stretch a little bit.
Okay,
what
is the other gauzy fabric that's used in set design?
Scrim.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, there you go.
Get some scrim.
Yeah. I actually think if I made a double gauze one, I would consider like the Rayon Chalet a valid maybe stand in.
Right.
For a bit.
Well, and then there's the other thing about, you know, it's lack of opacity.
Yes.
What do you want to wear under this? Mm-hmm. Do you want your undergarment to be seen? Are you going to wear a tank top? Are you going to wear nothing? I'm this one layer girl. Okay.
You don't like the layers.
I need to wear a bra in like 99.9% of the instances, but when I start layering, I go crazy. And that's the other thing about, I guess, gauze, like a lot of the garments are made bulky, and I'm not a bulky person.
They've got
like,
all the gathers.
Don't like a lot of fabric. Yeah. So, you know, these are considerations. But like Manley says, it's going to work.
Yeah, you can definitely do it. And make it, when I just said, I might nip in the waist with some of these shifty ones, make it boxy first. Put it on. Then go to town.
Make it with the most fabric.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if you need to take an inch in, you know, around the waist or right below the bust or something, do it.
You can do that. The other thing is, talking about muslins and test garments, you'll hopefully be able to make one of those, approximate it a little bit. The other thing you can do when you're making the garment is baste it together.
Yes.
To try it on. If you've got some super precious stuff.
And with the gauze, I'd hand baste.
Oh, you'd hand baste? Okay, yeah.
Well,
super long stitch,
you know,
or hand baste. Yeah,
you can really tear that gauze up easy.
That's a really good recommendation
you really can.
That I would not want to follow.
That you wouldn't follow.
Yeah, that's a really smart idea that I don't want to do.
Use a really long stitch.
Yeah, use a really,
and make sure
totally
you use a contrasting thread so you're pulling the right thread.
Mm-hmm, love that. Yeah.
And use a different thread on top than on, you know, use black on the top and, you know, or
white
light,
on the bottom.
Dark on top, light on bottom or whatever. So you know you're pulling the bobbin thread.
Yeah, mom's saying that because when you take out a stitch, it's best to pull the bobbin.
I would say if you pulled the top stitch on a gauze, right?
You'd be in
to
trouble.
To pull it out, you just made a hole.
Yeah, you're very correct.
Yourself. Yeah.
So if you baste it together though, that would be good, especially if you were planning on using some kind of seam finish that was. I wouldn't do a French seam with the gauze, but
I would definitely do a three-thread overlock.
Yeah, well,
because it doesn't add volume.
I'd sew it with a sewing machine,
exactly,
and then finish it with the three-thread overlock.
Absolutely,
or
yes,
do a zigzag and trim close or something like that.
And you know, you might want to use a tighter stitch than you think on the gauze for your finished seam.
Yeah. Yeah, do a little testing.
Yeah, because if the stitch is too big, it will tend to pull out. The other thing you could do is do something like a seam grate or something in the seam. Mm-hmm. Gauze will come apart at the seams.
Yeah, it can. So the other thing I want to bring up is we haven't done like a module on like how to make a knit easy tee. It can just change so much, but maybe I just need to kind of like bite the bullet and just kind of dive in and mm-hmm. give my best recommendations, and that's all I can give. But I actually will have a couple different easy tee patterns. I've got like my woven easy tee, and I've got like my knit easy tee, or I'll bring out a knit easy tee and lay it out and cut off of that to make an easy tee versus my woven one, because I'm like, okay, well, you know, this is engineered to have some ease in it for the wovens, and for the knits, I am cool with it being tighter, you know, or whatever.
Well, it's just like when I said that makes a great like nightshirt swimsuit cover up or whatever. I don't have that extra pattern, but I lay my pattern down.
There you
and
go.
Then I go, okay, I'm going to cut an inch away from here. That gives me 2 inches on each side. And I know I'm only going to maybe put a quarter inch seam in this, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, so I've given myself like 4 extra inches all the way around or something.
Uh-huh.
And maybe not in the arms, or maybe in the arms and not, you know, I or more in the hips because I'm sleeping in and I don't want to get wound up like, you know, a crystallis or something.
Yeah. All right. So go for the double gauze. Let us know how it goes, Daisy. And we're going to take a quick break and come back with some random sewing tips for you. Hey, ZD, wouldn't it be cool if everyone who listened to this podcast could learn how to make perfectly fitting leggings directly from you, the leggings expert?
Well, yes, Mal. That's why we produce the Made to Measure Leggings class. I teach anyone, no matter their age, ability, or gender, to make perfectly fitting leggings based on their measurements. And if someone is feeling particularly generous, they can make leggings for anyone who they can get to stand still long enough to measure.
You, yes, you, can get immediate access to all the videos and course materials in the Made to Measure Leggings class by going to sewhere.com/leggings. This online class allows you to complete the process at your own pace, and you own it forever, so you can rewatch it as many times as you need.
Stop struggling with the leggings that roll down or sag in the wrong places. I'll be your guide as you create leggings that are made especially for you.
No matter what your equipment or skill level, ZD covers everything from measuring, drafting, cutting, and construction on a sewing machine or serger in this class. Go to sewhere.com/leggings and get started today.
Sewing out loud.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
And we're back. Okie dokie. So we got a great little tidbit in the group from, once again, Stephanie. Okay, there we go. And she said, hey, if you're going to throw away a pincushion, make sure, like she posted a picture of like one of the tomatoes, right? Little tomatoes. She said, make sure to cut it open because she cut hers open and she found like, what'd she say, 4 to 10 needles or something.
Because
that
needles have nothing to stop them. They're supposed to go through the fabric.
No
right?
head, no head to stop them from going into the pincushion.
I mean, I don't know what she said. I didn't see that.
That was all she said, but okay. I
will expand on this. Yeah. Okay. I treat this like a surgical procedure, of course. Mm-hmm. So I get my single edge razor blade. I do not like cut this open with my scissors. First of all, I don't want to cut it into a needle, right? Or
right.
something that might be in there. Mm-hmm. So I also make myself an area to do it in. So whether I put down usually like a stiff piece of paper, okay, that's big enough to catch the stuff that's going to fall out.
Yeah.
Right. So I slice it open like I'm making an incision. You know, if she had a tomato, I would probably cut it open in more than one place. Go through it, see what's in there. You know, do you have some needles? Yeah, I got some new needles. Now, if you're going to make a pin cushion, the stuff that was in there
can make another pin cushion. You could.
Right. And sometimes you'll get like all kinds of stuff. You'll get, you know, wool, you'll get sand, no telling what can be in there. The biggest suggestion I have on making a pin cushion is don't put anything in it that someone might eat, like a bug. Anything that might draw some, like people will put rice, you know, things like that. Like, I'm very careful about that when I put that in, like, you know, the heating things that you put in a microwave.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, gee, guess, and why? Why do I know this? Because I had it happen to me. And it was actually, this was one from a spa that someone had bought me, like a spa gift.
Oh, man, I forgot.
And it had like sunflower seeds or something on it. I can't remember. And I'm like sitting on my bed and I'm like, I just saw a mouse. I know it. You know, I don't know if anybody has. Okay, we live in the country, so we do have mice. And we're very, very conscious of them, like in our garage and our kitchens, right? Where we have food.
Yeah.
Where we have things that would support the life of a mouse. And I'm like, how could a mouse be up here? You know, this is the second story, blah, blah, blah. I can hardly get up here sometimes. And I'm like, okay, I'm crazy. I didn't really see a mouse, you know. And I didn't see any other things that indicated there was a mouse to me. Well, eventually, another daughter besides Mallory was in my bedroom and she goes, oh, I just saw a mouse. I'm like, damn it. And we're pulling the bed out and we're pulling all the furniture away. I said, I know I saw a mouse too. It was in the bottom drawer of my nightstand where I had this. It was supposed to be like an eye soother, you know, and it had like lavender in it. But it also had seeds in it, like different types of seeds, okay? So they were eating these seeds.
Uh-huh.
And they were actually bringing them back even into the sewing studio because it's on the second level.
We found this stuff throughout our home.
Yes. So I was the spa place was feeding, you know, this infestation in my house. It never occurred to me. Okay, you know, it was a nice, pretty thing. It smelled not, you know, whatever it had in it, eucalyptus. I don't know what it had in it, lavender, probably lavender. But, you know, so the seeds, it was all natural. Well,
yeah.
It was the wrong natural. Just so you know, and anyone can have a mouse problem, okay? They send out little other mices right? To go find the food source, right? And that's what they do. And then they have babies and they do it again.
Right. And, you know, we real. I mean, it sounds really gross and people will be like, oh my God, you're disgusting, you have mice. But, like, if you live out in the country, right. I mean, or anywhere, like, the
country's worse. Well, not true, because if you live on top of each other with other people who like to attract mice with their habits,
it can happen. It can happen to the best of us. And, you know, we don't have a lot. And you know what else is important for the mice, like, amelioration or whatever, is, like, lawn care.
Yes.
Because I found a mouse nest one time, like, while weed eating, and it was very close to our house.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, well, these guys are just going to scurry right on over here, you know, and crawl up some, you know, whatever. So you, like, yeah, there's just a lot that goes into it, okay? And we do have a cat, and that's good.
Right.
And the cat...
Snakes are even better.
Yep. The cat isn't always good for actually catching the mice, but for alerting you, because I've had the thing where my cats... are all on edge, and then I catch the mouse.
And that happens with snakes, too. Your dogs will start walking, running around your house crazy, and then you realize you have a snake in your house. But anyway, we live in the country, remember.
Oh, cool snake story. I just have to share.
This was a good snake, so I was happy.
So we have found the most... like the biggest garter snake I have ever seen.
Right.
It is like a fat, long garter snake. And Zelda found it one day, and then I found it the same day while mowing the lawn. I was very careful. And then, like, they were outside playing with Derek's sister, and they were like, oh, it's here. And this snake was just, like, hanging
like
out
their friend.
With us. It was just, like, I told the kids, it's like, let... you know, give it space. We don't want to stress it out. Like, you don't know if this animal is stressed.
Right.
Trying to explain to them about, like, wild animals and stuff. But, like, it just kept coming up to them and, like, sniffing them. It, like, licked my fingers. It, like, you know, it let
I
me take a video
licked,
of
I
it.
I did not know it licked your fingers.
Yeah, it came
I
up.
I know
and,
it crawled on your children.
Yeah, so then they were, like, laying down and it kind of, it went up. I have a video. I'll try to, I guess, like, I should, like, post on the So Here Instagram. But, like, it came up to, like, Zelda's face and then it was, like, crawling over. And then finally I was like, guys, we really should just, like, leave it alone. But I wonder, so we looked up, like, the gestation time for a snake. And it's kind of long. Like, if this snake was a mama snake, it could have been, like, starting to gestate, we think.
Yeah.
Like, for the season and everything. Like, because I was like, it is kind of a fat snake. Like, it's very, very round. It was not, like, a long, slender snake. I was like, maybe. And they don't, although, I think it's rare for that kind of snake to eat mice. They're more bugs and amphibians.
I was
going to
say, I think they're, yeah, it might
but,
be snake.
I don't
know.
Know.
If you get hungry, you might eat anything
but
like
maybe
like anybody
it's
else.
Eating all the bugs, and so then the mice can't eat.
Bugs or whatever.
Something. I don't know.
Are mice bug eaters?
I would admit, like, they'll eat each other. Shoot, they'll do anything.
I think of, like, grain and things, but they do eat each other.
I mean, yeah.
So if you think we go off on tangents.
Wait, I'm just going to do another tangent. I have to. It's been a while, everybody. So sorry. Okay, if you've ever watched the show Hilda or read the graphic novels Hilda, there is a little, like, character, kind of a cameo by this mythological creature called the Rat King. And it's like a ball of rats. Super gross. And it's supposed to be something like that will keep secrets or something. Like she learns secrets from it. Okay. So it's kind of gross. And we like watch Hilda a few years ago, go about our lives. Okay. I learned that like rat kings are actually like, this is so gross.
They exist.
They exist. And it's like from... like when a bunch of rats get really cold, they'll bundle up together and their tails will get tangled and they can't untangle
them. Oh, no.
And they die.
Oh, no.
And it's a pile of rats and it's gross.
Okay.
It's so
I do
gross.
Not
and
want to find
Zelda,
that ever
Zelda,
in my lifetime.
Zelda goes, I said, guys, the Rat King is a real thing. She said, I want to see a picture. I was like, I don't know if you do. And she's been asking me for weeks to show her this picture. And I'm like, oh,
I think I can be okay with the picture, but I don't want to find it in real life.
Speaking of dead rodents in Fun Home, one of the props I had to make was a dead mouse, and I made it with the embellisher.
And that would be the second dead mouse she's made for
play. Because I lost the first one.
Yes.
Okie dokie.
So if you think we go off in tangents from cutting open
a pincushion,
right? Not really.
I mean,
did you see that all linked together? One thing was a segue to a segue, like how to open your pincushion, what stuffing would come out, what not to stuff it, you know, with again. That's not a tangent. Those are segues.
Yes, segues. Okay, so you're going to stuff your pin. Okay, what about walnut husks? Are those like sterile enough that they're okay?
I don't know. And buckwheat husk and all those, because those are things animals eat. So
but, like,
I don't
husk
know.
The husk is so woody.
That's what
I don't think it has like
exactly.
fat in it.
I think
right?
I would kind of Google on that maybe.
Yeah.
And you know, usually those are cleaned and
yeah.
dried.
Like a clean.
Like, you know, I don't think wood shavings bring.
That's what I'm saying.
But they bring it for nesting.
They want the bedding.
They want
yes.
the nesting material.
Okay.
I had a brand new life jacket hung up in my garage.
Yeah.
I wore it once and a mouse, you know. Got in it for the nesting material.
A rat king. Got
maybe
it.
A rat king. Yeah, who knows? But, oh, I did repair it on my sewing machine, of course. But, you know, I'm like, I just bought this. Why would a mouse want to come? You know, I get maybe they were desperate that year for nesting material. I don't know.
I have come. It's been nature time on the lawnmower. I've seen, we've got a pair of, like, red-winged blackbirds
well,
out here.
It is true. Spring is awakening
yes.
here.
And I've found the birds' nests that have been blown down.
Right.
Have had some like colorful like threads in them and stuff.
Yes.
So I'm like,
I wonder where they got that. Oh no.
Where they got
one
that.
One year we had a nest on the front porch, and unfortunately, you know, the babies got born and we had to let them, you know, live and leave the nest. So it was on there forever. All I did was
clean up bird poop.
Oh, I hosed
so much bird poop.
Bird poop off the front porch for a month, I swear.
Yeah.
But when we finally got the nest down, Dad goes, yeah, here's the culprit. It had sequins in it.
Oh,
so, you know, the sequins stick to stuff. You know, I don't think they particularly. But, you know, maybe the shininess of the sequin drew them to it.
There are birds that do that. Yeah. Okay, do you have any other sewing tips before we close out this episode?
Well,
just give us
I
one.
I have one little bitty funny one.
Just give
okay,
us one.
I just made a sewing kit, so to speak,
yes.
okay, for the boat. And it wasn't even because I need to sew something, okay? I needed a straight pin, and there were none on the boat. And I was just like, how could I not have a straight pin? And then I realized I didn't have my car. We had the truck, which my car would have a straight pin. But anyway, so I made this sewing kit thinking.
So you didn't pick your teeth with.
Well, that's right. But I was like, so I need a sewing kit anyway, and that would include some straight pins, right? And needles and safety pins and things like that. So, which I use as tools, okay,
yes.
for other things, right? You know, I've got hemostats on there, you know, what needle holders,
yeah.
hemostats for other things I do on the boat. But so I didn't have to add that to the sewing kit. But I made the sewing kit. Okay, I take these humongous, huge pills. And this was a big pill container. How tall is it, Mallory? Like 6 inches tall?
It was
4 inches.
8? Am
it's
I?
One hand
I don't know how big. Honestly,
yeah.
this is not a strength of mine.
It's
it's really tall.
Like you could put a pen, like a writing pen in it. You know,
yes.
It's that tall.
Yes, you could put a whole pen in it.
And then
yeah.
it's you know big, like maybe I don't know, 2 inches in diameter. Whatever. And I take these pills so that I can actually eat. But so I take 60 a month. So I have all these containers all the time. Keep going. This has to be useful. But anyway, I did make it out of that. And I made a pin cushion and put it on the top. Ha, ha,
yeah,
ha.
Super cute.
I actually stuffed that with fiber fill.
Candy. No.
yeah. With rat food. So, and then all I did was like, you know, glue it with E6000. If anybody knows what that is, it's a multi-purpose, really strong glue. And I put that on the top and I made, you know, which means like, the child proofing was gone. So that was in the child proofing side, you know.
Okay.
Which is good because I'm not child proofing that. But anyway, I'm putting it on my boat, right? And there were other things in this. But I think the most significant thing that I wound up putting in it was I put a desiccant in it.
And that's very smart.
And it is. And you know those little desiccants and they come in things and you throw them, they come with like electronics, they come with cell phones.
Yeah.
You know, keep those.
You out of
just
reach of children.
Don't, yes, out of reach, and don't eat them or whatever, but you never know.
Okay, and where you can get the cutest little desiccant packs. So mom, I think, has some ugly square one. That's
I have a round one, too.
Oh, you have a round one?
Okay. Cylinder, yeah.
So we have experienced some sinus infections over in the Donahue-Gwinner household, and of course, you don't know if it's allergies or COVID, right? So we've been using up our home COVID tests. And they came with the cutest little desiccant packets.
Which you haven't shown me
yet. It's like, yeah, but look at like your pinky.
Yeah.
Like the top little section of your pinky. It's like that. And it's like little rectangular. And I have two of them set aside for you. I just haven't gotten them up
sewing kits.
Here.
We might be making sewing kits for everything.
Yeah, yeah. No, really, really super duper cute desiccant. But that's good. Okay, you're staying on a boat, but really like in a lot of places. So it's not just because she's on a boat.
Right.
But.
And the thing is, you know, those are fairly airtight too. So, you know, they're not supposed to get wet or nothing will fall out of them.
Right.
Or that kind of thing. It's not, and you know, those little sewing kits that you can buy. I just don't like them. First of all, crappy thread.
The crappiest stuff.
You know, the one thing I did not put in this sewing kit, which is oftentimes in a sewing kit, or was when I was growing up, was like a shirt button. I'm like, we don't wear shirt and buttons like we used to.
Yeah.
Like, you always had a shirt button. You know, when I was growing up, everything you wore had
a shirt button. So, yeah.
So I didn't put any buttons in it, but there's safety pins in it. So if somebody needs to, you know.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, you're not like attending black tie.
Hadn't planned on
not yet.
Not off the boat. Nope.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, everybody, for listening. We're glad to be back. We'll be back in your ears next week. Mom, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.